On July 4th and 5th, 2020, I delivered my first homilies here as your new pastor that weekend. And I'd like to repeat a story I conveyed during that homily. Perhaps you remember it. It's a story that happened in June of 2011, when I was being transferred to Dickinson, where I served 9 years before I came here. That was a hard move for me. One day I was walking my Dalmatian, Caesar, and we always kind of like to hide when we walk, because everybody tells me they saw me. So we walked on 2nd, north of 1st, not much traffic there, well off the beaten path. We were heading east toward what was then Wrestler Chevrolet. A car pulled up, stopped in front of us, and out walked Father Paul Becker. He had come to the parish of St. Joseph to visit with me, and my staff told him that I was out walking, so he found me. And he walked up to me and he said, "I just want to commend you for making St. Joe's a place where people want to be." And we visited briefly, and he got back in his car and drove off. And I looked down to Caesar and I said, "Now, wasn't that the damnedest thing you've ever seen?" No one, certainly no priest, had ever given me such a thought of care. We don't do that much. You know, Schumacher, you know, good job. I first became pastor on August 1st, 1996, in New England, North Dakota. I've been a pastor now of a parish for 25 years and 28 days, but who's counting? This is my 6th parish, and I think I can say now that I know what it requires to be a pastor. It has its ups and downs. It has its successes and failures. It requires to strategize. Sometimes you have to say the hard thing to maintain order. Sometimes the best action is no action. I'd like to begin this first Mass of our parish mission weekend by commending you, Father Becker, for making Corpus Christi a place where people want to be. Thank you. After your untimely departure in January of 2020, after the closing of the parishes, after the time of uncertainty as to who the new pastor would be here, Corpus Christi has remained strong, stable. Corpus Christi has remained a place where people want to be. And when you create a place where people want to be, you bring more people to love Jesus Christ and to worship Jesus Christ. So, Father Becker, thank you. You've left me a great parish, a great staff. I have found my transition here to be fairly easy, thanks to what you did. So welcome back. Welcome back to the life. Welcome back to the faith. Welcome back to the joy, really, of Corpus Christi. And we've all been waiting for this day. I think we've all been waiting for this day. We've been holding down the fort for you, okay, Father? I welcome Steve Angrisano and Sarah Hart. We had a great meal with them upon their arrival last night. My staff had a nice meal with them, with some friends. I enjoyed listening to some of your prelude music, but I got kicked out of people's places a couple times. I sat in the pews and inadvertently took someone's spot. So I completely understand. I don't want anybody sitting in my chair. So, but it was great to listen to you. I had a homily that I started to write when I drove back from Sioux Falls on Monday. And before my funeral yesterday morning, I just scrapped it and started over. I have a box in my rectory of discarded homilies. Maybe I'll publish them, or someone may after I'm dead. I'm doing that more and more. But I just decided to start simply. To begin again with the homily and to speak plainly. I think that's what a parish mission gives us an opportunity to do, to begin again, simply, plainly, in our faith of Jesus Christ and in our love of him as our Lord and Savior. I'll tell you a story, and then I'll leave you with a thought, and then we'll get on with our wonderful evening here. It's a story of a pious monk who died and went to heaven. And upon his arrival, an angel greeted him to give him a tour. We hope to get a tour, don't we, of where we will spend all eternity. So the angel showed the monk around, showed the monk beautiful materials, more beautiful than any marble or gold he's ever seen. They went to the gardens, and this monk saw blossoms and colors that he had never imagined, never saw on earth. Then they went by what looked like kind of an ordinary storeroom. They entered this storeroom, and it was lined from floor to ceiling with shelving. And there was very meticulously categorized and stacked and labeled what looked upon his entry to be dried mushrooms. Dried mushrooms. And the monk thought, well, you know, Who am I to judge? You know, this is heaven. So that's fine. The monk got a little closer, and he discovered that they were not dried mushrooms. They were human ears. He turned to the angel, and the angel said, yeah, let me explain. The angel said, you see, these are the ears of those on earth who listened to everything and did nothing. So when they died, their ears came to heaven. Now, ears are important. You know how I try to speak so you can hear me. And I was always taught that we have two ears and one mouth so that ideally we listen twice as much as we speak. but it's not good to be all ears. Our second reading from James told us that it's not enough just to hear the word of God. That second reading said, we are to be doers of the word, not hearers. James said, if we are hearers, we deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves if we only listen to the word of God, if we only think about the word of God. I will go so far to say we will deceive ourselves if we only agree with it. We are to be doers. What does that mean? That reading told us we are first to be charitable. We are to will the good for others, especially when we don't want to. James told us we are to care for our soul. We are to feed our soul. That's why we come here. I will add that to be doers of the word, we need to get strength from each other in our faith. And I will also say that one of the most difficult things to do in hearing the word is to do God's will and not my will. Lord, thy will be done. That's doing. So, simply, plainly, beginning again, James gives us a practical definition of what religion is. He distinguishes good religion from bad religion, not about morals only, or about theology. Good religion, for James, is authentic faith that expresses itself in good works. And the life of Corpus Christi comes from your good works, your worship, your charity, preserving your soul, loving one another, and accepting what comes your way as God's plan and not your plan. Today is the feast day of St. Augustine, the great bishop. He was prayed into being a Christian by his mother. St. Monica had her feast day yesterday. I know that there are many mothers and fathers here who have great pain from their children, your children, who have left the faith, don't practice the faith, may not exhibit the faith. Saint Monica teaches us to never give up. Ask Saint Monica to pray with you. For 17 years, she had a single intention that her wayward son Augustine would become a Christian. And then he was baptized by Saint Ambrose. But then she kept praying for him. And he became one of the greatest bishops, writers, influencers of our church. In tomorrow's office of readings in the church, that the priests pray, that the religious pray, and that many laity pray, the breviary, the liturgy of the hours, St. Augustine gives us a warning. And the warning St. Augustine gives us is that we are not to walk into a church fruitless. And for him, walking in a church fruitless means all we do here is listen. He said, we are fruitless if all we do here is listen and we do not exhibit good works. We are fruitless if our faith does not express itself. And so, my dear people, it is great that we are all here. We're going to remember this Mass for a long time. Maybe you can remember my homily, too, when you eat your next mushroom. add it to your cheeseburger, right? May all that we do give greater glory and honor to our Lord Jesus, and may his power in our life, by what we hear, move us to be doers of his word. Amen.